Amen. Everybody done what they need to do? I don't want to get in the way. It ain't about me.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Judges chapter number 13 tonight. Book of Judges chapter number 13 tonight. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord again.
Amen.
Amen. And thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His blood. Amen. And I'm glad. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. And but I'm glad that the Lord doesn't remember any bit of that. I believe the songwriter said it like this: what sins are you talking about? Amen. I feel like, Mr. Soundman, that I'm ringing just a little bit tonight. And I don't know if I am. Maybe it's my ears. It probably is, preacher. It probably is. And man, I woke up this morning and my left ear has been stopped up all day long. And I don't know why. I feel fine. I felt fine yesterday. But me and my wife has gotten along a lot better today. And I promise you we have. And so I appreciate my family being with me again tonight. And I really mean this when I say this. A lot of people will never realize how much a preacher's wife and their family and a pastor's wife and their family sacrifice. And I don't take that lightly. I appreciate my family being with me tonight. Appreciate my wife being with me tonight. And I don't say this just to show off or to say this to brag on her. But I promise you, behind every man and every decent man, I don't know if there's a good man or not, but behind every preacher is a good woman. And behind every pastor, it's got to be a good woman. I certainly appreciate my family tonight. Appreciate you.
Do you have water under there?
Look underneath. I do. Praise the Lord. I've got water. And purified water.
Holy water,
he said. I'm glad it's not Deer Park. There's just something about that deer, brother, standing over that stream. Kind of tastes funny. So I don't like Deer Park water. So praise God for purified water. Amen. And good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I want to, I'll be honest with you, I was kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, not on what to preach. The Lord laid that on my heart before the revival ever began. But man, all you preachers know what I'm talking about. It's just like kind of beating your head against a wall when you try to get something, and you're just like trying to fit a round peg in a square hole when the Lord don't want you to go in that exact direction. And I got home, and my daughter was getting ready, and the Lord just showed me. I mean, same scripture, same everything I've studied today. I've looked, but anyway, He gave me just exactly what He wanted, just exactly in time. And I've asked Him to line the service up. And then your pastor got up and said a few words, and he has done just that tonight. So how many people were able to be here last night? How many people was able to be here last night? And so we've got several people that was not here last night. So let me do this. Let me do a recap of what we preached last night. And I don't want to be redundant tonight, but I want to mind the Lord tonight. And you know, the Lord never has to duplicate Himself. And He always does something new. He always does something afresh. And I'm excited to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart tonight. But I don't want to take off in two different places. I want us to be on one accord. So look with me if you stand in the honor reading of God's Word tonight. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We're just going to jump off of that one verse. I'll do a recap. I'll read the text here in just a few minutes after I do a recap of what we was preaching, and then we'll jump right into the message, and I won't worry you long. Amen. Good number on a Monday night. Amen. And you know, if each and every one of us invited somebody and brought one person tomorrow night, that there'd be twice as many people here tomorrow night. That is the truth. Amen. And I learned that in school. But anyway, so look with me in Judges chapter number 14. Judges chapter number 14. Or I'm sorry, Judges chapter number 16. Then we'll flip back to 13. Judges chapter number 16. We'll just read that one verse, the main text last night. It's the main text tonight, but we're going to dig into the Word. The Bible says in Judges chapter number 16, verse number 20 tonight, "And she," speaking of Delilah, "said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson, And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not, he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I stand in need of you, God. Lord, I realize my weakness tonight. Lord, I realize that I'm nothing without you. Lord, I'm thankful, God, for the calmness. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for the peace. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for your perseverance. God, I'm thankful, Lord, you never gave up on me. I'm glad that you're in the midst tonight. Lord, I'm glad we've already felt your presence tonight. But Lord, if I stand up here alone, I will certainly make a mess. God, I ask you that you would guide my eyes and my ears and my tongue tonight. Lord, that you would use me. God, you'd empty me out of myself tonight, that you would fill me up with the Holy Spirit. God, help me to have discernment tonight. Help me to be mindful of your direction tonight. Make yourself and your way and your path very, very clear. And Lord, I'll be sure to go every step of the way. Lord, help me to say everything you'd have me to say tonight. Nothing you wouldn't want me to say tonight. Lord, open our hearts. Help us to be receptive to the Word of God tonight. Lord, I'm so grateful for your Word. Lord, I'm so grateful for you as a personal Savior. Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost, God, that you'd speak to their heart, that you would draw them by your power, save them by your grace tonight. Lord, touch my tongue for the next little while. Lord, we'll give you all the honor, all the praise for everything that's done tonight. In Christ's name we so humbly pray. Amen. Well, last night we talked about the book of Judges and what time of a frame and an era that the book of Judges was. And we said that it was an evil day and that Joshua had just stepped off the scene. We said that it was a rebellious time. And the Bible said that every man done what was right in his own eyes. So he didn't care what anybody else said. He didn't care what anybody else thought. He was going to do exactly what he wanted to do. Amen. Doesn't that sound familiar today? And we talked about that it was an evil day. It was a day of rebellion. And we said in four different times in the book of Judges, the Bible says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And then we said in two different times, the Bible tells us, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did what was right in his own eyes. You know, everybody wants a Savior, but nobody wants a king. Everybody wants the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ because that's free. But nobody wants a Lord over their life. We're good with Jesus in the cradle. We're good with the birth of Jesus and celebrating Christmas. We're good with Him being crucified on the cross. We're good with Him rising again and celebrating Easter and eating a good bread. We're good with all of those things. But what we're not good with is when He starts telling us how to live our life. When He starts giving us direction and which way to go. I believe Paul told the church of Corinth, the most carnal church in the Bible, he said, you are bought with a price. You're not your own. And because you're not your own, because you're bought with a price, you don't get to make your decisions anymore, church of Corinth. So you're to do what the Lord says for you to do, Church of Corinth, right? And what is that? It's this, preacher. It's to glorify, to exalt, to lift up, to advertise the Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect of our life.
Yes, sir.
So we see this was a rebellion and a time of rebellion and a time that people were doing what they wanted to do versus what the Lord wanted them to do. So we've seen very quickly, we talked about Samson's strength and how strong that he was. And we said that he was very, very strong. And I want everybody to understand again tonight that Samson was very strong. I want you to also understand tonight that God was working in Samson's life. Not only was God working in Samson's life, but God was moving Samson and he was growing in the Lord. Right? You okay tonight? He was working in Samson's life. He was moving in Samson's life. So we looked at how the strong man became weak. If anybody knows anything about Samson, we know that he was a very, very strong individual. We said not only was he strong physically, he killed a lion with his own bare hands. He ripped the lion in two and killed the lion with his bare hands. He picked up a jawbone of a donkey and he swung it 1,000 times. Could you imagine swinging a baseball bat 1,000 times? I mean, it takes about 4 hours to swing a golf club 100 times. Yeah. And after you're done, you're just completely zapped and wore out. But Samson was so strong that he slew a man with the jawbone of the donkey, 1,000 men. So he swung it at least 1,000 times. He picked the gate up that guarded Gaza, the gate, the iron gate, post and all. Took it up to Hebron and cast it. So Samson was a very strong man. God was moving and working in Samson's life. So how in the world did we get to chapter number 16? How in the world did we get to verse number 20 when Samson said, I'll wake up, I'll shake myself as times before. And he knew not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. How did that strong man become so weak? How did somebody where God was moving in their life, hey, preacher, I do not understand it, how a man or a lady or a family can be in church and they can be singing in the choir and they can be on fire for God and you can see God moving and working in their life and moving and working in their marriage and 1 year from the date, they're nowhere to be seen. I mean, they're on Facebook bragging about how good Calvary Baptist Church is, how good they're enjoying the preaching, how good things are. And then in a short amount of time, where God was moving and God was stirring in their lives and in their kids' lives. And now all of a sudden, they're not here on Wednesday night. And all of a sudden, they're not here on Sunday night. Then all of a sudden, they're hit and miss on Sunday morning. And then all of a sudden, you don't see them anymore. And we began to wonder, where is such and such and where is so and so? I want to warn you tonight that none of us is exempt, including me. And including you and your wife and your family. That's what scares me to death tonight. Man, I'm not up here preaching down to you tonight. I'm just telling you, there's nobody, none of us exempt from sin tonight. There's nobody exempt from losing the power of Almighty God. You know what I found out, preacher? I found out grace is free, but His power will cost you something. God's power will cost you something. If you want God's power on your life, it's not free. Come on, brother. Come on. Preacher, it'll cost you a lot of time. It'll cost you a lot of sacrifices. So how in the world did the strong man become weak tonight? We said, number one, because he was hanging around the wrong people. And we talked about how those people will cause you problems. And we talked about the relationship that Samson got in. And he was unequally yoked. And we talked about how that could cause you a problem. And we talked about maybe Samson thought he was strong enough to change Delilah. Then we talked about not only did Samson hang around the wrong people, but we said Samson went around and started hanging around the wrong places. So how did the strong man become weak tonight? Let's just jump right on into the message tonight. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to Judges chapter number 13 tonight. Samson became weak because he's hanging around the wrong people. Samson became weak because he is hanging around the wrong places. But look up here just a minute. Samson became weak because it was permitted by his parents. Samson became weak because it was permitted by mom and daddy.
Come on, brother.
Read a post on Facebook. It said this, tonight, during the message at church, my 9-year-old son, Jay, come to the realization that the children who were not in the ark didn't make it through the flood. And he looked at me with such a sad and puzzled face, wondering why they didn't make it through the flood. And all I could say was their parents didn't make sure they had them in the ark. Did you know you can be here on a Monday night in revival and still not be in the ark? You can have your kids here on a Monday night of revival and still not be in the ark. Man, there's a lot of people undoubtedly, preacher, around the ark. There's a lot of people in earshot of the ark. There's a lot of people that knew where the ark was. But the only people that survived, preacher, was the ones that had their family in the ark. The strong man became weak because it was promoted by his parents. Look with me in Judges chapter number 13 tonight. The Bible said, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. We know 40 is the number of testing tonight. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah." That was Samson's dad's name. And Manoah and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, "Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God." Do you know there were some things that a Nazarite was to never do? There were some things, if you read in Numbers chapter number 6, that a Nazarite was to never do. There were some things that in Numbers chapter number 6 that a Nazarite was to do. Y'all okay tonight? In verse number 5 and in number 6, the child was to be a Nazarite. But look, when he was supposed to be a Nazarite, he was supposed to be a Nazarite from the womb. My daughter's very shy, and I don't want to embarrass her tonight, but will you raise your hand? Will you stand up for me? You can sit right back down. Just stand up, sit right back. We ain't supposed to start teaching them to be a Nazarite at 15-year-old. Come on. We're not supposed to start teaching them to be a Nazarite. Let me explain it like this. There was things that a Nazarite was to do. If you read Numbers chapter number 6, you'll find out that a Nazarite was to separate themselves unto the Lord. You'll also find out that they were not to drink any wine or strong drink or eat anything unclean or anything of the vine. They weren't supposed to be around that liquor and that alcohol and that worldly mess. You'll also find out in chapter number 6 of Numbers that a Nazarite was supposed to have a different hairstyle. Y'all okay tonight? I mean, I'm preaching out of the King James, right? Y'all do know Christians are supposed to be separated, right? You know Christians ought to have a different haircut. Yeah. These boys should be walking around with earrings in their ears. They shouldn't be walking around. These girls shouldn't be walking around with all different colors of hair. Pink and yellow and everything else. We shouldn't be walking around, preacher, with holes in our blue jeans. We shouldn't be walking around with hair down here and touching the back of our shoulders if we're a man. I believe we ought to be separated. Amen. We're supposed to be separated. What separates us? The blood of Jesus Christ. So for us to neglect separation is to neglect the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. If you'll continue to read in Numbers chapter 6, you'll see that a Nazarite was supposed to be holy. And by the way, they was also supposed to not to do this. They shouldn't come around any dead body. Let's be honest with you, I don't want to hang around nothing dead. Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Amen. And can I say this tonight? Cherish what you have here at Calvary Baptist Church. Cherish what you have here at Calvary. I'll promise you that every church, there's very few Calvary Baptist churches in North Wilkesboro. Very few Calvary Baptist churches that has liberty to preach like that. Very few Calvary Baptist churches where you come in and they look at you and say, "Don't hold back, preacher." Come on, brother. Cherish what you have here. And I'm just telling you, Samson lost his strength because he was permitted by his parents. He was supposed to be separate. He was supposed to be a Nazarite. And look with me in verse number 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. Let me tell you when to start teaching your children to go to church. From the womb. Now I'm preaching to you tonight. Man, I know I look like a young man. And y'all think my wife looks younger than me, but y'all are wrong. Y'all are dead wrong. But I'm just what are y'all laughing at? I'm just telling you tonight, the time to start teaching your children how to dress right in the house of God. Here's what the Lord showed me, preacher, is when they're this big. Here's what God showed me. If you'll teach them, where's them little baby girls right back there? If you'll teach them when they're that age what to wear, you won't have to worry about them when they're that age. That's what God showed me. If you'll teach them how to honor the house of God when they're that age, you don't have to worry about them when they're that age. That's what the Lord showed me. But look, notice the words here in verse number 4. Now therefore, beware. I want Samson to be a child of God. I want him to belong to the Lord from the womb. I want you to raise him right from the root womb. But before you start raising him right, I want you to beware. I looked up the definition of beware in the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, preacher, and it says this. It means to restrain or guard oneself from. It means to restrain oneself from anything that may be dangerous or injurious. Well, something that would cause injury. It means to restrain. Come here just a minute. Listen to me. It means to restrain oneself from anything improper. Beware tonight means to avoid and to take care of and follow by the things to be avoided. To avoid and to take care of, followed by the things to be avoided. So we ought to know what to avoid, and then we ought to take care of that, and we ought to be careful not to even get close to that. Samson started off well. Samson started off growing and God moving in his life and working in his life. But it also means this, to have special regard to. I believe there's some things that Christians ought to beware of. I believe there's some things, preacher, that Manoah and his wife, now I'm going to preach about them, but I'm just telling you tonight, there ought to have been some things that Manoah and his wife was bewaring of. Right. Ever been on visitation and see one of those beware of dog signs? What do you do? I don't know about you, but I look all around before I get out. And if I see that, that's exactly right, preacher. I've learned that. If I see that chain, I look at her and say, get out, honey. It won't bother you. It won't bite you. Don't worry about it. That's partially true. Amen. I'll keep his attention over here. You run out that way. She can run faster than I can. She's younger than I am. Amen. So there's some things that we need to guard for our kids from. There's some things that we need to avoid with our kids. There's some things that we need to keep our kids away from as parents tonight. There's some things we need to guard. I want you to notice something. This is not, I'm trying not to go here. I'm just Deuteronomy 6, 7 says this, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Not only should we teach them, it says, not only should we talk to them about it, but we should walk it in front of them. They'd been with the Philistines for 40 years. Can I preach for a little while right here? Can I tell you our problem tonight? I said our problem tonight is we've been conformed to this world too long. And this modern day society has got our minds warped. It's got our thinking warped, preacher. It's got our way of thinking. Because here's what we think. We can't watch that movie until the kids go to bed.
Come on. Come on, bro.
It's all right for the kids to watch that movie because it's only got those little words in it. Right?
Come on.
That's where we're at. Well, preacher, you know, preacher, you just can't watch anything. I hear you. I understand. You just can't watch anything on TV anymore without hearing a little cussing in it. And that's right. Say, what do you do? I'd quit watching it.
Come on.
I'd cancel my cable bill.
Come on.
Let me ask you, how many of those little words would you want your kids saying? They're just little words now, right? How many of them would we want our kids going and repeating? Now, Johnny, you know you shouldn't have been. Where did you hear something like that at? On that TV channel you let me watch, Daddy.
Come on.
Sally, where did you hear that little word at? On that TV show that you on that cartoon you let me watch, Mama. Y'all do know cartoons got cussing in them now, don't you? I'm just telling you, Samson grew weak because his parents permitted it. Samson grew weak because his parents permitted it. I'm just telling you, society has got us warped, and we as parents must learn and must realize that we must lead by example. And not only that, but we're going to have to give an account for everything that goes on in our house and under our control tonight. Let me say this tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, the disorder of his parents. The disorder of his parents. I'm not going to read through the rest of that, but I will touch a couple verses there. Look with me in verse number 8. We find Manoah 13, chapter 13, verse number 8. We find Manoah's daddy pleading with the Lord, saying this, "Let the man of God come and teach us how to raise our child." Is that not what it says? 13, verse number 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord. That means he earnestly pled and earnestly asked the Lord and said, "O Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come unto us and teach us what we shall do unto Samson." Right?
Come on.
There's a prayer there. See, what had happened was the disorder. Why I say the disorder is because, preacher, I scratched my head. Why the man of God went to the woman? Because that's not God's order. When Abraham and Sarah had a baby, God spoke to Abraham and Sarah laughed. But here, God is speaking to Manoah's wife. So what in the world is going on? Let me explain this to you very quickly. Here we got Manoah. He wasn't anywhere around when the man of God showed up to teach his wife how to raise up the child. She ran out there to her husband and she said, "Hey, honey, hey, a man of God showed up. Said we couldn't have no kids, but now we're going to have a kid. And he even told us what we need to do and how we need to raise it." And Manoah said, "Oh no, I've got to hear this. I've got to see this. I want the man of God to teach me. I want the man of God to tell me." So Manoah goes to the man of God, to God, and he said, "Oh, please God, have mercy on me. Please God, teach me, show me, send the man of God to tell me how to raise our kids." Then look with me at verse number 9. Judges chapter number 13, verse number 9. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah was not with her. The disorder of the home. Where was Manoah? Where are the godly men in the Baptist churches? Where are they on a Wednesday night? Where are they, preacher, on a Sunday morning? Where are they on a Sunday night? Their wives are sitting here alone because we have Manoahs.
Come on, brother.
Not in the house of God.
Come on.
Where was Manoah? I mean, it's almost like a dysfunctional family, preacher. I mean, it's almost like daddy is supposed to be the leader of the home according to the Lord, and daddy's sitting at home. So while the children are being drugged to church with mama, they're looking back at daddy and going, "Why don't daddy have to go? If I gotta go, why don't daddy have to go? If I've got to go on a Sunday night, why does daddy not have to go on a Sunday night? If I got to go on a Wednesday night, if I got to go on a Monday night, why does daddy not have to go on a Monday night? If daddy can watch that, why can't I watch that? I want to be just like daddy."
Come on.
Every one of us has kids, has got a Samson in here. And we've got a Samson that wants to be just like us. I'm telling you, I got a little Samson right over there. Man, I remember when he was just a few years younger, he wanted to wear everything. There was only like two suits out of all of my suits that I could wear because it had to be just like Daddy. I've got a picture of him when I was in uniform, preacher. I had a uniform made with the patches, and man, I got an extra badge, I got an extra name tag. I mean, it's identical. Man, he had his gun, and he put that uniform on, and I'm telling you, he would walk like this. Am I telling the truth? I mean, I am not over exaggerating. You know why? Because he wanted to be just like Daddy. And every one of us, mamas and daddies, we have a Samson or a Samsonette that wants to be just like Daddy.
Come on.
Just like Mama. I want to be. If Daddy don't have to, why do I have to do it? Where was Manoah?
Come on.
Wonder if Manoah was on the golf course.
Come on.
Wonder if Manoah was fishing.
Come on.
Wonder if Manoah was watching a ball game. Wonder if Manoah was out with the boys. Wonder if Manoah was just sitting at home. Somebody said, oh, well, what if he was at work? Well, the only problem with that is the Bible said Manoah arose. Manoah was sitting down on God. Hey, can I ask you a question tonight, Mom and Daddy? Are you sitting down on the Lord? Are you as faithful to God as you need to be? Are you as faithful? Are you as good as an example as? And I know we all have got growing to do. We've never, none of us, we'll never plateau. We'll never get there, Preacher Chris. We'll never reach that level. But we ought to be continually seeking and striving. And Paul said, pressing toward the mark of the high calling. Here's why we don't want to press. Because pressing requires opposition. Pressing requires. I can't press if there's nothing here to press. But there was a parent. There was disorder in the parental supervision. Samson became weak because Manoah was nowhere to be seen. Let me say this, and I'll move on. Number one, Samson became weak because there was some people that he was allowed to hang around that he shouldn't have never been allowed to hang around. It's going to kind of sound redundant for my first two, but I really believe this is what the Lord gave me tonight, preacher. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old. Still live at home under mom and daddy's roof. How many of you in here tonight? Several, I know. You don't have to raise your hand, I know. I'm just telling you, mamas and daddies, understand they may be teenagers, but if they live in your house, you still have to give account for it. Can I tell you tonight, if you allow them to date, and I'm not going to get in on that very much, but if you allow them to date, you allow them to come to your house, and they go to that boyfriend's house, or they go to that girlfriend's house, and they go to that other house, you better make real sure, mom and daddy, that mom and daddy's not permitting something that you don't permit. If they're always wanting to go, I love you tonight, but if they're always wanting to go over there, preacher, there's something that you ought to watch. They're able to do things over there, preacher, that they're not able to do things at your house. Or maybe that your house all the time, and maybe there's things that you allow them to do that you should never let them go to the bedroom together. You should never let them shut the door. You should never turn them loose together. Because we're all made of the same stuff tonight. You know why Samson fell short, preacher? Because there were some people that his parents permitted him to hang around. Judges chapter number 14, look at it. Judges chapter number 14 and verse number 1, the Bible said that Samson went down to the Philistines. And in verse number 2, he came back, and what did he do? He told mama and daddy. His mama and daddy permitted him to go around the Philistines unattended. He must have been of age. I wonder if mama and daddy thought their boy was strong enough to handle it. I want to say this tonight because I've seen both sides of this. I've seen it where you call mom and daddy and say, hey, I found you daughter down here smoking weed. And all of a sudden you're the problem because their daughter wouldn't do that. Or you're the problem because their son wouldn't do that. And it always goes like this. It's never your child. It's always who they were running around with. But my question is, why are you permitting them to run around with them? I'm preaching out of good spirit. I believe it'll be taken well. But Samson fell weak because it was permitted by his parents. Can I ask you a question tonight? Man, I don't want to beat you with a wooden stick. I love you tonight. All I'm saying tonight is, man, the kids needed to get right last night. Man, mom and daddy needs to get right tonight. And man, if we could just set up some organization, some spiritual organization, some spiritual boundaries in our home and just say, you know what? For God I live and for God I die. And you know what? That's enough of this mess. That mess ain't going to be watched in this house anymore. That ain't going to go on in this house anymore. Your curfew's going to be this. Your curfew's going to be that. You know what? You're not going to go there anymore. God spoke to my heart on a Monday night at Calvary, and I'm going to set my foot down. We need some Manoahs to set their foot down. We need some Manoah's wives. The problem was, preacher, is Manoah's wife was setting her foot down. But Manoah wasn't setting his foot down. Look with me. Look with me here. Amen. I'm just telling you, that is the way I see it in the average Baptist church, is the woman is the strong spiritual leader of the home, and God never intended it to be like that. Thank God for godly women. Thank God for godly women. There's women that's having to step into places and be a Deborah, or a Deborah, however you want to say that, and having to be in places that they should never be inside the church because there's not a Manoah to stand up and take the place. Preacher, there's some small churches that don't run 300. That there's some women that's having to teach adult Sunday school class because there's no Manoahs that'll dig in the Word of God. God bless them, ladies. God bless them for grabbing a hold of Barak's hand and saying, come on, sweetheart, I'll go with you to war if you want me to.
Come on.
Right?
Come on.
Still in the book of Judges, right?
You're good. Go
ahead. I'm telling you, Samson grew weak, preacher, because his parents permitted him to be around some people that they shouldn't have ever allowed him to be around. Y'all ain't going to run me off after tonight, are you?
Come on, brother.
Devil will tell you that stuff, won't he? You'll never know the struggle that I have felt all day long.
Come on, bro. You're all right.
I'll be honest with you, preacher. I really feel a lot of liberty to preach this. I feel at peace right now. But I'm just telling you, all day wasn't like that, preacher. All day wasn't like that. Number one, Samson lost his strength because his parents permitted him to go around people he shouldn't have went around. I ain't gonna take time to read it, but I'm just gonna tell you right now. When that man of God showed up again, Manoah's wife went and got Manoah, and the Bible said that she grabbed Manoah's hand, and Manoah followed her. Why in the world, preacher? Why in the world is the lady going to grab the man's hand and saying, come on, come on, come on? Mr. Sailman, will you pause me for just a second, please? And as I stood there and I talked to him on the phone, and he began to ask me and talk about how he was battling an addiction problem, and I told him what the answer to the problem was. It was the local church. It was the Bible. It was the Lord. And that is the answer to our strongholds tonight. But as I walked through the receiving line, preacher, and I shook his wife's hand, who I had never met before, she looked at me as she wept. And she said, I tried, and I tried, and I tried to get him to go to church. And you can't push him, but so far. I can't help but wonder if he's not in an early grave tonight. Because maybe he just crossed over that mercy line, preacher. But I know this by his wife's testimony. He had a Manoah's wife pulling on Manoah, saying, let's go to church. Let's go. We need to get in church. Let's go to church. And he said, not right now. Number one, the parents permitted it. Number two, the parents permitted him to hang around people he should have never been hanging around. But number two, they permitted him to go to places that he should have never went. Look with me in verse number 14, chapter number 14 and verse number 5. chapter number 14, verse number 5. Then went Samson down. I've got to show you this. I can't go on, preacher. I can't. Let me show you. Go back up to verse number 2. And he came up and told his parents. Are y'all with me? Told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Man, I seen this girl and she was smoking hot. That's what he said. I got to have her. Man, daddy, I love her. Mama, I love her. Hey, and they said, hey, Samson, where does she go to church? Samson said, well, she goes to a good church. She said she's saved. I've already asked her if she's saved. Where'd she go to church, Samson? Well, I don't know, but she says she's saved. Can I date her, Mama? Can I date her, Daddy? Hey, will y'all let me date her? Here's what verse number 3 says. The father, notice these words now. Then his father and his mother said unto him. Now, Samson, you know better than that. We've already discussed this. Me and your daddy's already discussed this. You know that you can't date anybody unequally yoked. You wait on the Lord, Samson. I believe it was Miss Manoah. You wait on the Lord, Samson. And you know that God will give you a good, godly woman if you will just wait on the Lord. Samson, we're praying for you. You just wait on the Lord. And then maybe Miss Manoah was washing some clothes or cooking lunch and cooking supper. And maybe he told Daddy, he said, hey, Daddy, let's go for a walk. Let's go for a little walk, Daddy. Let's go for a little walk. Look at the bottom of verse number 3. Uncircumcised Philistines, you ain't supposed to be with them. And Samson said unto his father. Daddy, you know Mama don't understand. Y'all do know that kids are smart enough to go to the one that they can get it over on, right? Oh, yeah. They learn that at that age back. They learn that at that age, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He went to Mom and Daddy. I believe with my whole heart, preacher. Manoah's wife said, Samson, absolutely not. You know that is against our beliefs. You know that's against the Word of God. He said, Daddy, I'm your boy. She's gorgeous, Daddy. I could see Daddy putting his arm around him saying, go get her, boy. I don't know what it is, preacher, but the world has got us in a mentality that we are to hoard our daughters at home and we're to kick our sons in the rear and egg them on. Right? But our sons ain't no stronger than our daughters are. I had to show you that. Number one, they let him go around the wrong people. Number two, they let him go around the wrong places. They let him go around the wrong places. Not only that, they went with him. Look with me in verse number 14, chapter number 14, verse number 5. They allowed it. They went with him. He said, go get her for me. Go get her for me. And the next thing you know, Manoah's wife and Samson, all of them were headed in the wrong direction. Preacher, if we're ever living in a day where they let the children choose whether we go to church or don't go to church, whether they let the children choose what church we go to, what do you have for the kids? Well, we go over here to the Rock because they got a lot more for the kids. We go over here to the place that's dark and got smoke coming up out of the platform because they got a lot more for the kids. They got a lot more for them, all right. You ever wonder why those places are dark, preacher? I believe the Bible says man desires darkness rather than light because his deeds are evil. Number one, they let him go or hang around the wrong people. Number two, they let him go hang around the wrong place. Don't let your kid choose to go to church. Where did you go to church?
Oh,
and matter of fact, don't let them choose whether they go to church or not.
That's right.
Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. I said, don't let them choose where they go to church and don't let them choose if they go to church.
That's good, brother.
Well, he's met a little girl. He's going to go down there to that church. Uh-uh. If God done it, I know God done it right, but if God spoke to Manoah's heart, God spoke to the man's heart, he gave the man the direction and the woman was supposed to follow the man to Calvary Baptist Church. The kids don't have any say-so in it. Wouldn't it be a shame? I wonder how much empty bread is laying around in the pews where the kids are supposed to be. He told Elijah to go get by the brook Cherith, and he had commanded the ravens. He had already commanded the ravens that there was one place he was going to feed those ravens, and whether he was going to feed Elijah, and whether Elijah was there or not, that's where the food was going to be dropped. And there's a lot of bread laying around molding in the Baptist churches because we are not in our places. Number one, because they let him go around the wrong people. Number two, they let him go around the wrong places. How long have I been preaching, preacher? Too long. Number three tonight, they let him have the wrong possessions. He grew weak, preacher. He grew weak because they let him have the wrong possessions. You know what? They let him have a hold of instead of the power of God. Bro, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Man, I love ball. Man, I coach my boy in baseball. But don't come for the church house. Don't come for revival. You can't. Would you let your kid choose if he's going to pick up a copperhead snake or not? Better yet, do you let your kid choose whether they go to school or not? When they get sick, do you allow them to choose if they go to the doctor or not? Do you allow them to choose whether they take their medicine or not? Then why in the world would we allow them to choose if they want to play ball or not? I wonder why I know what breaks my heart. I know many that have substituted the power of God for a ball. I know, preacher, some that substituted the power of God for a ball. I mean, for their son to be the next quarterback, preacher. I know some people that has lost their kids, lose the power of God on their life because of some possessions, preacher.
Come on.
But I ain't telling you whether your kid ought to have a cell phone or not. I promise you, I'll tell you, they can't handle it tonight. You can't handle it tonight.
Come on.
I tell you what would be real good, preacher, if tonight, from right now on, if we said, you know what? Sweetheart, or buddy, or whatever the case may be. Samson, you've got a cell phone. But at 9 o'clock, Samson, don't go to your bedroom anymore. And number two, Samson, we're going to call the kitchen table a safe place. And at 9 o'clock, your cell phone goes on the kitchen table. I had one of my best friends to call me. One of my best friends. You better listen to what I'm getting ready to say right here. He said, first phone call I got from him, we're thinking about letting our child play travel ball. Goes to a good fundamental independent Baptist church. I said, the only one thing about that, man. I said, you better be careful. I said, because if you ain't real careful, I said, it'll get you out of church. Yeah, I know. We're not going to let it do that. In essence, here's what he's saying, preacher. I'm strong enough to handle it, and it's not going to get out of control. Next thing you know, preacher, they're playing that organized sport 10 months out of the year, aren't they? Is that right? 10 months out of the year, and they're taking a 2 month break. I seen their pastor preaching a revival. I said, "Hey, pastor," I said, "how's such and such doing?" I said, "Faithful." He said, "Not much, brother. Not much." Here's the second phone call, preacher. Their 13-year-old daughter. Just a month or two ago, he called me and said, yeah, we're going to get her a phone. You see where I'm going with this? You see how that snowball, it's not going to get out of control, Brother Chris. Can I ask you a question? I'm done, church. Can I ask you a question tonight? Has it got out of control?
Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
There's Samson's that's depending on you tonight, mama. Their Samson's depending on you tonight, Daddy. I mean, the power of God in their life is depending on you. It's depending on who you let them hang around. It's depending on the places you let them go. It's depending on the possessions that you let them have. Can I ask you a question tonight, church? Has it gotten out of control? Samson lost his strength, preacher, because the places he was going, the people he was hanging around, but it was permitted by his parents. They come to the piano tonight. Altars are open tonight.